you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to be studying a Christmas lesson in Matthew chapter 2 of when Jesus was born. It was prophesied a little over 500 years earlier in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26, that an anointed one would be born and would be killed. And it says in the New Living Translation that this anointed one that would be born would appear to have accomplished nothing. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was very obscure, except to a few people. The three wise men saw the star and came to Bethlehem to bring their gifts to a king that they believed was born on that day. Their gifts was frankincense, gold, and myrrh, very precious gifts. These three wise men came from Ethiopia, from Persia, and for them to not have communication between themselves like we have today, yet they were wise men who studied the stars and studied the astronomical world to look for signs from God. And God showed them that there would be a king that would be born and for them to follow the star. They were led by God. And they arrived at the same time in Bethlehem, which is no coincidence. Also, there were shepherds, it says, abiding in the field. Now, these are among the lower class citizens of the day. They were sheep herders. They were not wealthy people, and they stayed out in the desert parts most of the time tending the sheep. And there were angels, a host of heaven, that appeared to these lowly shepherds and told them where Jesus was born in a manger. The place where he was born was a manger, a stable, where they kept the animals, because as we know, there was no room in the hotel there, the inn. And because that Mary was great with child and was going to have her baby that night, the innkeeper had compassion on her and agreed to let Joseph and Mary stay in the stable. And that's where Jesus was born, in a lowly place. The anointed one born in a lowly place. That seems to be the life of Jesus. They took no note of him except when he performed miracles. He raised the dead. He opened blinded eyes. The deaf heard. And he proclaimed that he was the Son of God, and that he would deliver the people from their sins. He even proclaimed to those who came to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And it so enraged the religious leaders of that day that they had to take notice of him because they thought he was a false prophet. But had Jesus not stirred up so much with his miracles and his sayings, and those that heard him could see that he had a great power about him, he would have went unnoticed except for around Jerusalem and in the land of Israel and even up into Samaria. The world didn't take notice of Jesus at the time he was born. And even at the time that he died, there was no one that really took notice of Jesus when he was on the cross, except a thief. A thief took notice of Jesus. The soldiers were gambling over the robe that Jesus wore. They were cursing and swearing in his hearing. The disciples had left him. They had scattered and were afraid for their lives. The only one that was present was John, and that's because he was taking care of Jesus' mother. He's the only one that followed him, and he was so young that the soldiers and the rest of the people of Jerusalem just considered John not to be a threat, and so they did nothing to him. But there was no one that gave Jesus a kind word when he was on the cross except a thief. The most insignificant person was the thief that was hanging on a cross next to Jesus. He gave Jesus a kind word. He told the other thief who was accusing Jesus and mocking him and saying, "Save yourself and us if you're the Messiah." But this lowly thief said, "Don't you fear God? We are getting our just reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing." And he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus rewarded this thief by telling him he would be with him that day in paradise. A kind word means a lot when you're suffering. Jesus was misunderstood. Whenever he tried to tell the disciples about the tradition of men and the rituals that these Pharisees went through when they would wash their hands before they ate, and they would wash all the pots and the dishes that they ate out of before they ate. They were already clean, but they would go through the cleansing ceremony because they believed it would defile them. They even washed the couches that they sat on, the pillows that they sat on before they would eat a meal. They took great care to ensure that they were not defiled by dirty dishes or dirty hands. And Jesus tried to explain to them that a man's not defiled because he doesn't wash his hands. He's defiled by what comes out of his heart, that evil heart that we've talked so much about. He's defiled by his evil thoughts, by his adulteries, by his thefts, his blasphemies, all the evil things that come out of the heart of man that we don't make a check on and we don't resist. They defile the man because it causes us to commit sin. But even as he's explaining this to his disciples, they don't understand. And he's amazed that they don't understand that he's speaking to them of spiritual things and about the cleansing of the heart and the cleansing of the soul. He came to redeem us. He didn't come to bring a new kind of doctrine, a new tradition of man, but he came to redeem a sin-sick soul. And he came obscurely to the world. And from the day of his birth, he was persecuted. Earlier, King Herod had heard there would be a king born in Bethlehem. And he had all the newborn babies up to 2 years old slaughtered in Bethlehem. And they had to flee for their life. An angel appeared to Joseph and told him to flee into Egypt because Herod was seeking the life of Jesus. And they stayed in Egypt for a good while until Herod was dead and they could return back, and they moved to Nazareth. And that's where they lived for the most part of Jesus' life as he was growing up. He was constantly being under persecution because the devil knew who he was. Even though the scribes and the Pharisees and the head religious leaders of Jerusalem didn't recognize him, the devil did. And there were many times when Jesus had cast out the devils that they would speak up and say, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One, the Son of God." But Jesus would tell them to be quiet. And whenever he would heal someone, he would tell them, "Don't broadcast this abroad. Don't tell anyone what I've done for you. Don't speak about the blessings that I have given to you." Now that seems strange to us because we are told today that we are to tell what God has done. We're to witness and testify what God has done. But in the time that Jesus was upon the earth, the devil sought to kill him from his birth. When he recognized that this king was the Messiah, he intended to kill him. And of course, God already knew that, and that was put in his plan that he would die on a cross willingly and lay down his life because the devil got his wish to kill him. But he didn't know that by crucifying Jesus, that he sealed his own doom and his own fate, because by that resurrection, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil and he set the captive free. He gave us eternal life if we believe and accept on him. But even though the scribes and Pharisees of that day and the leaders of that day did not recognize who Jesus was, he had to do his miracles in secret, so to speak. But even the most secret that he could do was such phenomenal things that he did that it couldn't help but be told in every household about the man who is performing miracles and talks about eternal life. Jesus knew he had a short time to work on the earth, and he was trying to avoid the devil coming in too soon to where Jesus could not tell the people about the kingdom of God. But even when he told them about it, they still didn't understand what he was saying. They looked at it from an earthly standpoint of looking for a king that would reign over Jerusalem like King David did. But Jesus came for a different kingdom, the kingdom of the soul of man. And that is what saves us. Earthly kingdoms will pass, but the kingdom of Christ living in the soul is forever. His kingdom is established forever in the believer. Now the day is coming in Jerusalem where he will set up a literal kingdom, and he will rule all the nations from Jerusalem, and he will rule them for 1,000 years, and then that will usher in heaven that would be for eternity. The birth of Jesus was obscure. It seemed to have accomplished nothing. The death of Jesus on the cross seemed to have accomplished nothing. His resurrection seemed to have accomplished nothing. But yet it was the plan of God that is hidden, Paul says. It's the hidden treasures of God that is revealed through his scriptures to give us eternal life. And it has to be sought after. There has to be a seeking of this eternal life. The wise men came a long way to seek the Savior. The shepherds left their flocks in the field, their livelihood, to come and seek Jesus and to see him. Those were the ones that God had revealed who this child was. And angels, the host of heaven, were singing the praises of Jesus. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men. He brought peace in the heart to those who will accept him. Yet this person, this man sent from God, this son of God, even though it was obscure at the time of his birth. We are 2,000 years past that time, and now our time is measured by before he was born and after he was born. His birth changed the entire world, even though at the time no one knew it. The devil wants to obscure our vision about how our work affects other people. He wants to tell us that living for God is insignificant. Have a good time today and forget about tomorrow, because we have no assurance of tomorrow. He tells us that what we do for God is in vain. He tells us many things doesn't matter that really do. It matters whether you serve God or not. It matters to you eternally, and it matters to other people in your family and who you are around. It matters. The obscurity of our lives, those of us who are not famous or wealthy, our lives seem to be obscure. I heard one woman say about her husband who was dying, he said, "My life is just like throwing a rock out in a pond. It will make some ripples that will spread out a long way from where the rock went into the pond. But in a moment's time, the ripples and the rock are gone, as though it never happened." And that's the way our life is. To the world, we are obscure. But to Jesus Christ, we are everything, because he went to the cross and gave his life for our soul. We were important to him, and he was important to God. He was not obscure in heaven. There was rejoicing in heaven because they knew that Jesus would defeat the works of the devil and that evil would be ended once and for all. When Jesus was on the cross and he was ready to give up the ghost, he said, "It is finished. I have finished what I was sent to do. I have destroyed the works of the devil." And Jesus said, "Because I have overcome this world, you can too." We can't give up. We can't feel so insignificant and obscure that we don't recognize our value in Christ. I pray that we will see Jesus and see what he did for us. He's not obscure to heaven. And when he returns, the whole world will see him in the clouds of glory. They will see him in his majesty. And he will destroy his enemies. And he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the whole world will see it. It won't be obscure then. And we will be with him is the great thing about it. A lowly person, that insignificant thief on the cross, is going to be with Jesus in the clouds when he returns. In our little old life that we have, that we feel is so insignificant, if we have put Jesus Christ and his righteousness first, we will be with him in those clouds, and then it will be worth it all. Then we'll be glad that we remembered that Jesus came to the earth to save us and to set the captives free. I want to read you Matthew 1, verse 18, through Matthew 2, verse 12, in the New Living Translation. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly, so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife. But she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1 is the visit of the wise men. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. Now they were magi, or royal astrologers, it says. Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born? He asked them. In Bethlehem, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come to see him. And at this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Now after this interview, the wise men went their way, and once again the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Verse 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child. And that night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. Well, Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, because the wise men had told him the star first appeared to them about 2 years earlier. Herod's brutal action fulfilled again the prophecy of Jeremiah. A cry of anguish is heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning unrestrained. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are all dead. Now in Matthew, we only have the account of the wise men. We don't read of the account of the shepherds in the field, nor do we hear about the host of the heavenly choir singing the praises of Jesus. We have to go to Luke chapter 2 to read about that. Luke 2 verse 8. That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a babe lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child just as the angel had said. Yes, when we see Jesus, it's great joy, and we're not to be afraid, because he is our friend. He is our Savior, and he was announced by the host of heaven. He's worthy of our praise. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm so thankful that you have sent Jesus, that he died for our sins. Even though the world rejects Jesus, you reveal him to those who seek him. We glorify his name in this Christmas season of his birth. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of his word. Leading me inside.